as long as that guy has a TV show, my goal is to just take him off the air.
Shut the hell up. Uh-huh. Okay, what's
up? Shut up. From Washington, D.C., Roland Martin. Good morning.
Tom, Simple J, how are we doing? So they had the big old meeting with Trump. And let me tell you how crazy this is, Tom. I had an interview yesterday with a pastor on TV One, a brother out of Richmond, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
It's already gotten a million views on Facebook because he really didn't say a damn thing. And it's interesting because, and so Reverend Mark Burns, who has been one of the pastors who has endorsed Trump, I talked to him last night, and he agreed to come on, and we've been trying to reach him this morning, have not been able to reach him. Have we gotten Bishop Victor Cousins on the line?
We do.
Bishop Cousins, are you there?
Man, I'm here.
So, Bishop, help us out. You were in this meeting, and essentially you said, there was nothing of substance that came out of this meeting.
No. If we're talking about engaging a man that wants to be the president of the free world, you got to give me strategy. You got to help me to understand what your particular administration might possibly look like. He talked about, his sentiments for, jobs and wanting to bring jobs back into the United States of America from China and things of that nature. But when we talk about substance, for me personally, substance involves strategy, something I can stand on, something I can rest on. I didn't leave out of the meeting with anything I could stand or rest on.
We've heard all these other pastors.
Other than the fact that he's very comfortable with his current approach.
Apparently in the meeting, Bishop George Bloomer said he pushed Trump on some of his comments, his racial comments, and at some point asked for an apology. What then happened?
Well, Bishop Bloomer wasn't the only one that pressed him in that.
But what was the response?
There was no response from Trump. Omarosa stepped in and spoke for him and said, well, he doesn't need to apologize. He built a playground in Compton, and he did this, and he did that. And I was shocked trying to figure out why she was even in the meeting, because clearly there would be a conflict of interest between her perception of Trump and our perception as African-American clergy. She is a clergy. She's not a pastor, to my understanding. But I was shocked that she was even in the meeting. And he was very comfortable with Omarosa responding for him. I mean, he leaned back in his chair and he nodded her head while she took the mic and, came to his defense. And then there was even another pastor that said the same thing, that he didn't feel like Trump needed to apologize. But Trump never took that as an opportunity to really speak to that matter. And Donald Trump is not going to apologize unless either the Lord does something in his heart or he starts dropping in the poll.
Did you
also made it clear there were not 100 pastors in the room.
There were not 100 pastors in the room. I've got a pretty good memory. I took notes of the meeting. So the things I'm giving back are things that I have written down in my notes. And I could go around the room in my mind and tell you who was sitting at the table, who was sitting where. The conference table was designed for 20. I was one of the 20 that was sitting at the table. There were about 15 chairs behind us of people sitting, another 5 people at the front door, and another 5 to 7 people or so with their backs to the window facing me. So that puts us at 40, 50 people max. There were not 100 people in the room. We took a group photo. So I said to someone yesterday that was in the room that called me about this, said, no, man, there was 100. I'm like, no, there were not 100 people. We took a group photo. Just tell them to put the photo out. You can count the people in the photo. You're not going to come up to 100.
Who issued the invitation?
I'm not sure who originally issued the invitation. I got a call from, I got a text message from Pastor Mark Burns inviting me to the meeting. And there were some other persons in the meeting. My understanding is that neither he nor Bishop Scott knew were going to be coming into the meeting. So it seems like there was more than one person that was responsible for actually pulling the meeting together.
And when you got the text, did you call others? Did you all have a conference or a conversation before the meeting took place?
No, I didn't call others. I didn't even know who else was going to be attending the meeting. Text says, I was asked to reach out to you to see if you would be willing to come to New York November 30th, Trump Tower, to meet with Donald Trump to talk about his presidential campaign. I said, let me check my calendar, find out. I responded back. I said, sure, I'll come. I didn't call anybody after that. I'm I kind of think for myself. So I didn't call anybody after that. I was not even aware of who else was invited to the meeting until I seen this flyer that was calling us a coalition. But not a coalition. This is not an organized, clearly or truly organized effort to try to speak for everybody in the Black church. I'm aware we don't speak for everybody in the Black church because there's some that do support Donald Trump. But there was no conversation prior to it going in.
And who paid for your travel and transportation?
Man, I did. But, you know, I keep hearing they saying, you know, that Trump fans and stuff. So I'm like, well, dude, where do I need to send my receipts to then? Because I missed out.
Did you at least get to stay in Trump Tower?
No. That was never a part of it. I don't know of anyone that attended the meeting that actually stayed at Trump Tower. I'm a Delta guy. I flew over on Delta, paid for it myself. I'm a Marriott guy. Stayed at Marriott Marquis in Times Square, paid for it myself. There was no compensation. There was nothing promised to any of us for attending the meeting. There were no favors done or anything of that nature.
What about the endorsement part? What when it was announced that this was going to be an endorsement of Donald Trump, did you have any second thoughts when you saw that?
When you saw that, why did you still go?
Because I knew that it wasn't me. I knew that that didn't impact me. I knew that wasn't going to sway me. So I didn't feel any burden or any pressure to necessarily.
I mean, it was announced that you all were endorsing the man. Once you found that out, you still went to the meeting?
I did. I mean, look, I'm from the hood, so I'm like this. They're going to find out about me when I get there. That didn't intimidate me at all. And I needed to go. I wanted to go. I needed to be in that room to come back to say that there's a giant in the land, but we're well able. So I didn't care what expectation they had of me. I knew my posture. I'm a man that stands by my convictions. And they were going to find out when they got there. And when we got there, they gave people an opportunity that wanted to endorse him, to endorse him. Some did. Others didn't. I was the one that didn't. They asked people that were going to endorse him, stand together in front of the camera. I got my hat. I got my scarf. I got back in a taxi. I went back to my hotel. I have not endorsed Donald Trump.
Sunday, did you announce to the congregation that you were going? And what was their reaction if you did?
I did. I told them. I think every church knows the heart of their pastor. And so I think my church knows my heart. My church knows how intent I am on doing whatever I can to help the cause, not only of Christianity, but to also help the cause of the African-American community as a whole. So I didn't receive any pushback or flack from my congregation. My people know my heart. My people know how benevolent I am, how generous I am. I think they trust my integrity and my character. So they were like, yeah, you need to be the guy in the room because you'll get put out before you sell out.
What are you going to say at Bible study tonight?
Well, we don't have Bible study tonight. Ours
oh,
because
it's Empire's on again tonight?
It said yours is Tuesday
oh,
night.
No, that doesn't even, yeah,
I'm kidding, sir.
But what I would say is that there's a machine that is fueling Trump, and we got to go after the machine. We got to go
All
after
right.
the machine that makes Trump feel comfortable doing what he does.
Bishop Victor Cousins, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you, Roland.
Yeah,
Thanks
Roland.
Thanks so much, folks.
Good job.